Hi, and welcome to episode number 35 of the weekly Google Cloud Platform podcast. I am Francesc Campoy, and I'm here with my colleague Mark Mandel. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Francesc. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Very excited about our interview with Sharad Shroff and Morgan McLean.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really nice continuation of the conversation we had about Stackdriver with Aja.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a nice extension of that, and people are going to learn a lot.
Yeah. Previous episode, basically, we covered how do you know if something's wrong. Today, we're going to be talking about how do you know what is wrong.
Yeah. How do you go about fixing it and working out what's going on there?
Yeah. And at the end, we're going to be talking about environment variables and 12-factor authentication. That'd be pretty awesome. That's really scary. 12-factor applications and how do you do those on Google Cloud Platform.
Yeah.
But before that, we have not one cool thing of the week, but two cool things of the week.
You insisted on putting that second one in. You were very insistent about it.
Yes, because I think it's actually pretty cool. It is a very short thing, but actually, let's leave that for the second one. So
okay.
Yeah, let's create some
mystery.
Yes. So the first one comes from our colleague Paul Newson. He's in a rotation. So he's normally a developer advocate.
Yep.
But he's doing a rotation as an SRE.
A site reliability engineer.
Exactly. And it is a pretty amazing thing to do. He's learning a lot. And the best part is that he wrote about it. He wrote a blog post. It's called Adventures in SRE Land. Welcome to Google Mission Control, which sounds pretty epic. And it is indeed pretty epic. He describes a little bit what he's been doing for the last couple of months and basically why it is so cool.
It's really cool because he's going to do a series of blog posts sort of outlining and documenting his experiences being a reliability engineer. And I think also we might have him on the podcast at some point soon.
I think he might have agreed to that.
Yes. There may have been some chasing involved. We may have had to lock him down, but we got him.
Yeah, apparently he's busy doing something like maintaining the stability of the cloud. No.
So not important.
Yeah. Not as important as a podcast, obviously.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're looking forward to have Paul in the podcast. Very excited about that. And the second cool thing of the week. It is a pretty short video, is around 5 minutes, and our dear friend Miles Ward, head of solutions for Google Cloud Platform, describes what Google Cloud Platform is and how is it part of Google and why Google has a cloud. And it is a very short video, it's only 5 minutes. But if you're curious about it, I think it's a very interesting one. It covers many things like machine learning and things like that. So just have a look. The link is on the show notes.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Great. So I guess it's time to go talk with our friends, Sharad Shroff and Morgan McLean.
Sounds like fun. So we are joined today by two product managers who work on Google Cloud, Sharad Shroff and Morgan McLean. How are you both doing today?
Doing good, thanks.
Doing great, yeah.
Wonderful. So the standard question we ask everyone when they come on the podcast is, who are you? What's your history? What do you get up to here at Google? Sharad, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I'm Sharad Shroff. I am a product manager working on developer infrastructure on Google Cloud. What that really means is that I'm extremely interested in developer workflows, how developers write code, how they ship code, how do they diagnose their application, how they debug it, and so on. I'm right now focused a lot on application level diagnostics and monitoring.
Cool. And yourself, Morgan?
Yeah, so I'm Morgan McLean. I'm also a product manager. I'm on Stackdriver Trace. And like Sharad, you know, I have a big interest in software diagnostics. I previously worked in cloud services at other companies. And Trace really excites me because it both gives you a view of how your application is running and what services are talking to which other services. And you can also see, really interesting details about latency or other unique insights into how your web application works.
Cool. So recently we had an episode. We talked with our colleague Aja Hammerly, and we discussed Stackdriver as a monitoring tool. But now when you introduce yourselves, you use this other word, diagnosis. Could you tell us a little bit about what is diagnosis and how is it different to monitoring?
Got it. So when Aja spoke about Stackdriver, she covered a lot of the system and infrastructure monitoring pieces. And this is basically telling the users, typically in that case, ops or DevOps or developers, how their infrastructure is behaving at any given time, at one specific time. What Morgan and I are focused on is basically around when the user knows that they have a problem in their application, how do they go about finding the root cause of the problem? So all the various tools that you need to discover exactly where the problem is occurring and why the problem is occurring, that's where we are really focused on today.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it would be fair to say that one is more ops-focused. That'd be like Stackdriver monitoring and alerting. It tells you when something's wrong, and it tells you from a very high-level perspective what is wrong and what's failing. And the diagnostic tools like Trace and error reporting and debug can be used to actually find out, you know, in your code or in your architecture, the root cause of the problem so you can fix it.
And the other way to think of it is these are effectively two sides of the same puzzle. So when you have a problem with your software, you kind of look at it in two different places. Is there a problem in my system or is there a problem in my application? And based on that, you need different tools. You need different tools to find out why and where the problem is occurring. And so much of what we are talking about is around is at the application level, which tends to be which is basically around how do you connect the code to what is actually happening in production.
All right, cool. So I guess at a high level, what tools are available? Like something goes wrong. I'm getting errors in my code. Where does that lead me to within Stackdriver?
So we've got a few tools that are out there that users can actually use. Logging, of course, is what I consider logging is. Logging is the one place, is the one tool that every application developer can use. If they don't have any other tools available, you can always go to logging because you can always go back to your code, instrument your code to output something to logs, and then go back and look at logs. You can probably build some kind of an automation to scrape through logs and so on and so forth. Or even better, the one really cool feature that exists today in Stackdriver is to take the logs, output it to export it to BigQuery, and you then have the full power of BigQuery to analyze your logs. So that is always there. In addition to logs, we have some tools like Trace, and Morgan can tell you a lot about Trace. Mm-hmm. We have error reporting, which basically, if you think of Trace as the view of the application from a latency point of view, error reporting is really about it's really looking at your application errors, no matter where they're occurring, and be able to analyze your application almost instantly. And then you have the fourth tool that you have available is the debugger, Stackdriver debugger, which effectively takes a snapshot of your application at runtime. It doesn't pause the application or anything. It almost at runtime takes a snapshot of your application and allows you to inspect the state of the application as the application is serving out requests. So those are the tools that you have today. There are more coming online, but those are the four I can talk about right now.
Excellent. All right, cool. So I don't know. Let's take a couple of scenarios and kind of talk through them and see what tools we end up. So the classic example, I guess, is I'm getting an error on my application. Where does that go? Maybe does it go to logging? Does it automatically get caught by error reporting? I've written some code in my app, but I don't know where does that information go to and how can I find it? How can I know something bad has happened?
Yeah. So errors can manifest in a couple of different ways, right? The one sure place where it will manifest is in logs.
Yep.
But error reporting is always scraping through logs. So with the moment you have an application, an app engine, there is no setup needed at all, by the way, for any of these tools. There is no additional step of integrating agents or anything like that. If you have an app engine application, boom, error reporting will work for you. And the moment you have your application and it starts throwing out some kind of errors, Stackdriver error reporting will be able to immediately, one, identify that it's a new type of error and alert you that an error has occurred. And three, give you more statistics about that error itself. How often that error is occurring? Is it, you know, it can give you a distribution of that error. It's happening like 10 times a second or 10 times a week or whatever it is. You have all the statistics available just by going to one URL. So you would get notified. So in this scenario that you described, you would see a notification that tells you that, hey, there's a new error that has occurred. And then you would basically go in and click on that link, and you would then get all the details about that error, including capturing the call stack. So you will basically, associated with that error, we capture the entire call stack. Not only do we capture the call stack, we actually parse through the call stack and identify the areas which is most likely of interest. Because if you look at the call stack, whenever I look at a call stack, my eyes kind of glaze over.
It's huge.
Because it's huge. It's insane, right? You got, so what error reporting does really well is basically says, okay, great. We have sifted through the call stack. Here are these five lines that you need to really look at. And you have everything else available if you want to, but it basically hints to the user saying, these are the five lines that you got to look at.
And what I found, part of the beauty of Stackdriver and the Stackdriver suite of tools is in situations like this, where maybe there's an error occurring in your application, so you find it in error reporting, or you'd be notified that there's very high latency in your application, you can actually jump between the tools, right? So in the experience for error reporting, I believe you can launch into debug. Mm-hmm. In trace, for example, if you find a very high latency trace, you can launch into the logs for those traces. And so it's not so much a collection of products that you're using or a collection of sort of four different features that Stackdriver offers to you. It's really a suite for diagnostics, right? And so even once you isolate the problem with one of the lenses in that suite, whether that be logging or error reporting, you can then follow up and get more analysis from some of the other functionality that we offer.
Yeah, I think Morgan brings up a really interesting point here and a really valuable point. If we were going about building tools, we would just keep churning out tools.
Yeah.
But the real thing is we are really focused on developer, DevOps workflows. It's really understanding, okay, and something bad is happening with your application and you have been notified, or when should we notify you and where you're being notified? We aspire to hold your hands right from the point where you first get that notification and take you all the way to where the problem is occurring, while at the same time corralling information from the application, from the user themselves as they're navigating through this journey, and from the system when we have it, which is why we're all under Stackdriver. And where possible, the application's customers, the application's users. So in App Engine, for example, error reporting can tell you how many customers have been impacted.
Nice.
By this specific error. So we try to combine all this information in order to help you do two things: bring you to the root cause and help you prioritize. Like, is it, you know, do I need to drop everything and immediately jump in right now? Or is this something that I can wait and address later?
Yeah, in some cases, or even suggestions on how to fix it.
Yeah.
Cool. So that means, I guess, I could get an error notification through error notifications. That could then make me go look at some logs. Maybe from there as well, I could jump into either trace or debug.
Yeah.
I can sort of jump around as necessary to see where that thing's happening.
Yep. And there's further integration coming in, you know, as we keep building.
Cool. There's a step that I'm kind of missing out, though, which is, so you say that you can jump directly from the error reporting to the code. How is the code linked to your project? Could you talk a little bit about that? How do I do that?
Yeah. So the place, the linkage point occurs typically at the call stack level, where we basically show you a line number, a file name, and a line number. And if the user or if the project has the source code linked to the application, then we can actually do this. And there are three different sources right now, three different repos that we support. Of course, it's a Google Cloud repository. So if your code is hosted in Google's Cloud repo, then we are able to, from the call stack, infer the correct version of the application code and basically allow you to navigate directly from the call stack to the application code, and with one click allow you to take a snapshot. And we'll talk a little, I'll describe a little bit later about what the snapshot really does. But in addition to that, if your code resides in GitHub or Bitbucket, then you can link. It's a very straightforward way to link your code that resides in a GitHub repo or Bitbucket. But the moment you do that, then StackDriver Debugger will very easily be able to navigate to the source. That's one of the, I guess, the magic sauce that exists in all of this.
So that sounds really interesting. Are there any limitations that people should be aware of, maybe by either language or it only works in certain products?
Right now, much of what we're talking about works very well for almost all the major languages in App Engine. We are very rapidly building out the same kind of support for Compute and Container Engine. And in Compute Engine, you'll see the matrix, the language support matrix, is not necessarily consistent between Trace and Debugger and Error Reporting. But we are very, we are in the matter of, let's say, months, I think.
In Trace, weeks. Yeah.
We will have more and more support.
We won't lock you down to timelines. I wouldn't want to do that to you. I understand.
Yeah, but certainly in the upcoming quarter and the quarter following, it's at least for Trace. I can speak specifically for Trace, but I believe it's true for the others. That support for GCE and GKE is our top priority, because the experience on App Engine is excellent for StackDriver, and we want to make sure that the experience is excellent on those other compute platforms.
And just so we're clear, too, is that both App Engine standard and flexible, or...?
I think that
it's App Engine standard right now.
Okay. Cool. All right. So I'll ask the question, I guess, from a different perspective. Say I'm a developer. I'm working on Google Cloud Platform. Is there anything that I can do to, like, put in place these practices before, like, as I'm building my application? Is there, like, tools or agents or anything that I should be doing sort of from the outset? Maybe for some of those things, more like GCE or other stuff?
Yeah, so I know this touches on a previous point. If you're using App Engine, of course, you're getting all this functionality for free, basically, right? Like, the beauty of it is that you don't have to think ahead. You don't have to start linking libraries or go to a third-party solution or anything like that. If you're a developer, however, on GCE or GKE, then you should look for some of the libraries that we offer, right? So for example, if you just go and spin up a VM on GCE and don't do any additional work, you're not going to Trace won't receive any data from your application, and you'll go to the Trace panel on the Cloud Console, and you won't see any traces because we didn't capture any. But if you look at the Trace documentation on the Google Cloud Platform website, we have links there to our Java library and an Node.js library for Trace, and links for Python and Go should be arriving shortly. And those are libraries that you can integrate with your code. And depending on the library and how, depending on when you're listening to this, we'll have different levels of support. But already today, if you're using the Node.js library, for example, you link the library, you get it through NPM in your application, and suddenly you're collecting traces. Some of the other ones, like Java, the initial release, you'll have to sprinkle it throughout your code. And so it's not just linking it. There's a little more work than that. Mm-hmm. And so that is something you should think about while you're developing. We hope to move beyond that in the future, but that's where we are today. If you're on GCE, GKE, and you're using Java or a language other than Node, and you want to use Trace and I think some of the other features, you should be thinking about this, and you should be thinking about the telemetry that you want to collect, the instrumentation that you want to send us and that we can provide to you, and focus on what's most useful. If Trace is very useful to you, then you should go use one of those libraries and sprinkle it in.
Yeah, I think much of what Morgan said applies to Debugger and Error Reporting, except the languages that are fleshed out are different.
Yeah.
Debugger already got a few languages, supports a few languages in GCE. They're all going at their own different paces, but in the matter of months, we'll be at a point where we would have covered all the major languages. But the other facet of the question that you just asked is are there APIs, and correct me if I'm wrong, so are there APIs that developers can use to leverage the functionality that comes with, say, Trace or Debugger or error reporting so that they can incorporate it in their existing workflows or dashboard. And that is already there. So almost all the, so everything from logging, Trace, yep, Debugger, error reporting, all of these have APIs. It's mm-hmm. all available through the One Platform API. So if you want to be able to extract traces or write traces, we'll talk about write as well, but if you want to extract any of this data so that you can host it in your own dashboard, you can do that. And so that's something to think about as well.
Yeah, or if you want to submit data to those services, but mm-hmm. perhaps we haven't provided a library yet, you're certainly welcome to do so through those APIs.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of the example where not everything is traditional request responses, right? So you could have a scenario where a developer is trying to diagnose latency of one specific function that he or she has written down. So you have the ability to say, here is a custom span that I would like to capture, and you insert a start time and an end time. That is not something that is automatically instrumented for you, but a developer can do it. So she or he can basically say, here is a custom start and a custom stop, and have this whole thing span represented in the context of my entire request. So they can say, this function adds X milliseconds to my overall request.
Yeah, and that would be useful even if you're on App Engine. That's if you're right. calling like an external service or something that you're instrumented otherwise, you can still submit that data through the API.
Yeah. And you can do all of that using that API that exists that we were talking about. Yeah.
So what you were talking about now made me think about this use case, which is I have one new version of my code, mm-hmm. and I want to make sure if it's faster or slower. Mm-hmm. How good I go to do that?
Yeah. So I think you probably want to start in Trace because this is primarily a latency analysis, and Trace actually has some pretty unique features that allow you to do this. So in the past, or if you're using other tools, what you might do is take a collection of traces before and after with the different versions and do a manual comparison and may probably eyeball it and see if the latency has changed. But Trace has a feature called analysis reports that will do this for you both automatically, or you can create custom ones. So every day, if you're submitting data for Trace, whether that's because you have an App Engine application or you're submitting it through one of our libraries or through the Trace API, every day we go and do comparisons day by day and version by version of the latency of your application. So let's say you rolled out a new version and you didn't take any additional actions. Next time you go to the cloud console, you'll see that there's actually a comparison in that section of the Trace UI that did a comparison day by day. And if the latency has significantly changed, either for the for better or for worse, but if the profile of latency has changed, we will both alert you and give you sample traces that let you do that comparison for yourself. Secondly, if you want to do a manual report, which you can do immediately, right? So you don't have to wait for the next automated one to come through. You can trigger a manual report to do either a version by version comparison or a time comparison. Let's say you could compare yesterday's traces to all of the traces collected over the last month on average. And it'll run that same analysis report for you and tell you if there's been a significant change in the profile of latency for your application or for a particular component of your application. Right? You could do it per endpoint or something like that if you have a microservices architecture. And it'll also, once again, give you those sample traces so you can actually get examples and maybe click through on a few and go, maybe the database or something slowed down after we rolled the version forward, or calls to this service slowed down. And so you can actually very rapidly isolate what changed, and then you can use that to jump in other tools like Debug to find out specifically why it changed.
And error reporting as well is version aware. So the moment you push out a new version and a new kind of error or a new error starts occurring, it's automatically captured. And you always have the ability to, right there on the top,
you can filter.
You can filter down by version. So you can say, here is the version A, version B. But it's good to also highlight at this point the underlying emphasis on trying to remove some of the operational friction, where we would like to remove some of what I would call grunt work, so that developers can focus all their effort on creating while Google's got their back. right? Basically, we will always, when a new version rolls out, we'll be aware of it. And not only will we be aware of it, we'll always compare it with what's happening with your previous version. And if we see significant amount of divergence in any of these, whether it's latency or availability or errors, we'll immediately surface that app. We will always be able to link those errors to the right version of your code, so that we can allow you to kind of very quickly navigate through to the problem.
Great. Well, we're kind of running out of time, but what could you recommend for our listeners if they have never tried any of the Stackdriver features? What is the first thing they should do?
Well, if you're an app engine, you should just go use it. You know, we have a pretty good adoption on App Engine, but there's no reason to not use Stackdriver on App Engine because you get all these tools for free. We're already collecting instrumentation data. It's you know, if you have a large, you know, important set of applications on App Engine, you should go try out the Stackdriver suite immediately. And I think you'll find that it's really useful.
Great.
Yeah. The other thing I would emphasize is it's only by just it's as simple as clicking through to a tab on the cloud console, and you'll be able to see it's all under the operations tab group.
Yeah.
And you'll just be able to click on it, and everything should be working. And once you do that, everything else is just turned on automatically for App Engine Standard. And we will continue to have that same level of focus towards minimal amount of setup needed so that users can use that when we have the same offerings available in compute and containers and everyone else.
So yes, we are running out of time just a little bit, but is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't either covered or maybe haven't mentioned, or something you'd like to plug about Stackdriver or Stackdriver diagnostics stuff?
Yeah, so the one thing that I want to emphasize is all the features that you hear about in diagnostics, whether it's logging or trace, debug, error reporting, all of these features that we enable completely automatically out of the box, we are obsessive about performance of the overall application itself. What I mean by that is the footprint that we use in order to do this, the amount of overhead that is added to these applications in order to capture all these diagnostics is in the order of microseconds or single-digit milliseconds is the way to think of it. So we want to make sure that we are not adding an additional burden to the application itself. The second thing is every one of these things that we capture, every one of these pieces of information that we capture is basically curated, is basically analyzed by some of our algorithms here. One example to think of is Trace Insights, right? We have about a billion traces, or more than a billion traces, easily more than a billion traces coming into our system every day. Each one of these traces is analyzed for points of to identify points of suboptimality within that, so that we can actually say, hey, you're making too many data store next calls.
Or your memcache calls are very slow.
Or memcache calls or something like that. So we identify every single trace so that we can then surface all of that information to the developer. The third thing to call out is if you want to basically go from identifying a problem or identifying the location of a problem to the root cause, there isn't a better tool than debugger. The way to think of the debugger is it basically, I think one of the engineers who wrote this tool describes it really well. It's like taking an X-ray of a person who's running without stopping that person, right? You can see the internals of the entire system. I've got some of the best stories around very interesting bugs that debugger has uncovered. Just by the ability to have a very detailed view into the working of the application without ever pausing this application. So
you take a snapshot in production.
It's a snapshot. Yeah. I mean, and to reproduce a similar functionality, it often takes developers days. One way to think of it is, you know, very often if you have to debug and try to find the root cause of a problem, you would go instrument some lines of code. You would again go through the validation and deploy it, again go back and analyze the code, again do this thing multiple times until you've probably found the right thing. With debugger, wherever the problem is occurring, even if it's happening in production, no problem. Just click, take a snapshot, boom. You'll very quickly be able to say, there is a race condition that I didn't see. You don't have to reproduce that anywhere in a test environment.
You can just redeploy in production.
Yeah. Right? And that just is spectacular. When customers use it, and I hear the wow, so it's very exciting for us building these tools.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think that actually works across App Engine and GCE and GTA, right?
Many GCE languages are already supported. Yeah. So many of this is available in GCE and GTA as well.
Awesome. Well, yeah, like I said, I think we are running out of time. So I think we're going to have to cut it there. But thank you very much to both of you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks again to Sharad Shroff and Morgan McLean for sharing their very deep knowledge on Stackdriver and especially on the diagnostics part of it. I discovered many different tools that I'm going to be using next time I have an issue. I'm not looking forward to having any issues, but for next time I know what to do.
Yeah, no, I actually kind of wanted to sit down with Debugger now and just kind of just poke at my app and just see what it's doing, like just at a given point in time.
I had some fun with the Debugger, and I got to say it's pretty impressive. Like, basically, instead of just adding more and more logs, which is normally what I do, because you know that's how I do it, rather than just logging every single value in your function, you just put a little breakpoint and you don't actually stop it. So it is awesome.
That's great.
Yep.
Perfect.
So let's go with the question of the week.
Yeah, you posed a really interesting one when we were sitting here earlier.
Yeah, so the question of the week is, okay, so I've been reading about 12-factor, not authentication again, 12-factor applications.
Yep.
And by the way, if you don't know what they are, you should just search that on Google and read a little bit about it.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, one of the things that the 12-factor application manifesto says is that you should always deploy basically the same artifact everywhere. So the same compiled binary or the same Docker image or whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that the differences between QA and test and production should be done with environment variables. So the question is, how do you do that? How do you do environment variables on Google Cloud Platform?
Yeah, and there's a few different ways that you can do it depending on which product you're on.
Yeah, basically. So depending if you have GCE, GAE, and GKE. So if you have...
say that three times quickly.
No, I cannot do that. I'm pretty surprised I did once. So on App Engine, there's actually a thing called environment variables.
Yep.
So you can set them very easily inside of the app.yaml or app.xml, depending on the language you're using. Mm-hmm. And basically, it allows you to say, hey, you know, like the variable name, I don't know, not host, that's a bad idea. But like, let's go with
database
something like
URL.
Database URL equals something. And then when you access it from your App Engine code, it actually looks like it's an environment variable.
Yep.
So every language has different ways of accessing those, but basically it will be behaved like any other environment variable. So what about on GKE, on Container Engine?
So GKE, you have a few options. Quite similarly to sort of App Engine, when you're sending your YAML files or your configuration up to your Docker containers or up to GKE itself, up to Kubernetes, you can explicitly set environment variables in that YAML file. But if you want something that's maybe a little bit less coupled, a little bit more flexible, you can do things like config maps or secrets. Those are ways to send up information up to Kubernetes with a given name that can then be looked up later. Those can be exposed in a variety of ways from like volumes and a variety of other things. But one of the ways you can do that is sending up data as environment variables. Secrets tend to be used when you've got like private information, like usernames and passwords. Config maps are used when you sort of have tech stuff, like maybe where is my database pointed at, or maybe where is the URL for my mailing list, or maybe it's just like, hey, this is the version of this app that I want to display. It's got a blue button rather than a red one. Mm-hmm. Less sensitive stuff. So you have a variety of options there.
Cool.
Now on Compute Engine, so if I'm running just a straight up VM, is there an option that I can use there?
So one of the things that you can imagine is you log in into your instance and you just set the environment variable there, whatever OS you're running. So let's say you're using Linux, you go export whatever equals whatever. And that will work, but next time you start a new instance, that it will not have those values. Mm-hmm. So how do you do it if you want to set those environment variables across all your instances?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the best way is actually using the metadata server API. And it is just a key value store. Okay. So it is very simple. And whenever you're going to set a new one, all the instances that are already running will have access automatically to that value. So it can be very useful for if you're doing something like the database, like a link to the database, and if at any point you need to change that, you just change it. And if your code is regularly checking that variable out, everything will just work. It is also completely safe, so you can store secrets if you want to.
Nice.
It is encrypted, so there's no problem with that. And finally, the cool thing is that this will actually work anywhere. So you can access those variables from Compute Engine, obviously.
Yep.
But also from App Engine and Container Engine.
Now, do I need to like call an API to do that, or is that just inherently available?
So if you're an App Engine, you need to use an API. It is very simple. It's a REST API. So and I'm almost sure there's a library for that.
Yep.
But even if there was not, it's just basically a GET. Mm. It's a GET request onto a URL that is only accessible from inside Google Cloud Platform. So basically, I'm guessing, you have access. Yeah,
I can do exactly the same thing from a Docker container inside GKE. Exactly. As well. Perfect.
Yeah, it is very simple, but it's incredibly powerful, and you can use it from anywhere in your project. So it makes it for a very easy way to integrate different pieces of your architecture.
No, that's cool. So if I wanted to share, say, some information across an App Engine and GKE and maybe a GCE project that I wanted to stay the same across all of them, that could be my central location for
storage. The metadata server API, it's going to be the best place.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice. Excellent. Okay. Well, Francesco, are you going to be anywhere fun and interesting in the next coming weeks? I know you're relaxing now that GopherCon is over.
Yes, GopherCon is over. The videos will be up sometime soon. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to be chilling on the beach soon. But don't worry, we're going to be having episodes nonstop.
There's no break.
There's no break. I'll be just somewhere enjoying the beach. But in the meanwhile, I don't have any interesting plans to share, which is awesome. I think that your case is a little bit different.
Yeah, so I had some things sort of cooking in the fire for a while, and they've come to fruition. When this comes out the week after that, I will be in Israel. I'm doing multiple events in Israel, so I am going to the GDG Cloud Tel Aviv meetup. I'll be there on the 25th. The day after that, I will be at JavaScript Israel on the 26th that evening. And the main event I'm coming up for is GameIS. They have a development day talking about game development. I'm going to be showing some Firebase content off there. So I'm going to be running all over the place in Israel.
Nice.
Nice. After that, I'm taking a bit of a vacation.
But yeah.
Like I said, we've got podcast episodes.
Very well-deserved vacations. Great. Well, thank you so much. Have a good trip.
Thank you.
And see you all next week.
See you all next week.